trouble you for a warm glass of
shut the hell up.
You can't handle the truth.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
We're on a mission from God.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
Hello, movie watchers, and a good day to you. I'm Jonathan Leonard, your host of the Entertainment Center here at PopCultureNetwork.com, here to bring you the newest news and reviews for movies and television and all that entertainment type stuff. Remember to check with the rest of PopCultureNetwork.com for all the things you love, toys and comics and video games and everything. PopCultureNetwork.com is your number one source on the internet for all that stuff. We got a big show for you today. A lot of information, a lot of stuff to talk about. Should be a good time. Decently full TV section and everything going to go. So we'll bust right into the format and talk about some news real quick. A lot of things going on this week, actually. Small tidbits here and there. Box office report from the second week of Transformers. It has stayed on top of the box office for the second week in a row. We are into the weekend beginning July 8th. Transformers made another $47 million. It's a 52% drop-off from its first weekend take. It was a less of a drop-off than Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen, had taken, showing that this movie's still holding on a little bit tighter than that one was. Transformers 2 came out to a lot of, I don't know if critical malignment is the right word, because a lot of the critics are maligning this one as well, but fans even couldn't get behind Transformers 2, but they seem to be sticking with 3 a little bit more. Another big opening, two more big openings really this weekend were the two main films that debuted came in second and third place. That was the R-rated comedy Horrible Bosses, with raked in $28.1 million, which is actually a really big opening for that movie. A little bit more than they expected. I think they were estimating about $25 million, but for an R-rated comedy and one that they would classify as a dark comedy, I think it's the biggest dark comedy opening ever. It was a little bit bigger of an opening for an R-rated comedy than Bridesmaids was. I think Hangover 2 and Bad Teacher both beat it this year. The reviews that I've seen for it have been very solid, and the people I've talked to who have seen it have liked it a lot. I enjoyed it greatly myself. I'll give you my full review of it later in the show. So good to see that making some money. A lot of really, really fun actors in there too. Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, Charlie Day are the three main ones. And then the bosses from the title are Kevin Spacey and Jennifer Aniston and Colin Farrell. Excuse me for the pause there. Blanked on his name for some reason. Probably because of that ridiculous getup he was wearing the whole movie. But again, we'll talk about Horrible Bosses in our last segment. I want to get through a few more news tidbits. Here's an interesting one. News of the World is a Rupert Murdoch publication in England. Sort of a tabloid journalism center, it looks like, and I guess it is shutting down amidst a flurry of reports of poor journalism, illegal phone taps, that kind of thing, and it looks like Hugh Grant, of all people, is one of the main factors to help really bring this place down. I guess he had a conversation with the editor of that magazine, Paul McMullen, at one point, where the editor had bragged to him about illegally hacking his phone, Hugh Grant's phone, and getting certain conversations. So Hugh Grant set up his own little sting operation, went into a pub and met this guy somewhere, had a few drinks with him, got the editor to talk about the phone taps and that kind of thing again, was recording the whole thing, and turned it over to a different magazine to release the story. So really, you don't expect Hugh Grant spy stories to come out of real life. But I thought that was a funny little one. I don't know. I had never heard of the magazine until I read this story, so I don't really, can't say I was shocked by the news or anything like that. More of these tabloids and paparazzi types need to get this kind of stuff handed to them anyway, so kudos to Hugh Grant on that one. Just thought it was really funny to see a celebrity wrapped up in a story like that. But it's good to see them fighting back against the paparazzi sometimes, too. So, like Hugh Grant or hate him for some of his old movies and old action, that's a pretty entertaining story right there. A lot of talk about Harry Potter, of course, opening this coming week, July 15th, the Midnights. I heard a radio broadcast last Thursday, this would have been July 7th, so a week before the Midnights, that said over, at the time, over 2,000 screens had already sold out for the Midnight premiere of Harry Potter. This one looks like it's going to break some records. Harry Potter movies traditionally are not record breakers. Everybody gets excited for the big opening box office. They always do open big. However, there seems to be this stigma like they're some of the biggest things ever coming, and usually they come in at a fairly moderate, I mean, right around $100 million. Those are huge, huge openings, but they're nothing, you know, there are no Dark Knight openings with like the 156 it made, or even, I think, Spider-Man 3 was 113, and one of the Pirates movies was up there really high. They never really sailed quite to that heights, but it's looking like the second part of the seventh one might be breaking through it. I know our local AMC in town here is a 12 screen, and I was talking to one of the managers out there Saturday evening, July 9th, and he said they were down to their last 2D showing for ticket sales, and the 3Ds he wasn't sure on, but they were going fast as well. So it looks like they've already sold out 12 screens for this sucker. It's going to be a huge movie, so if anybody's looking to see it at midnight, if you don't have your tickets already, get on Fandango now or rush out to your local theater and see if they still got some left, because it might be hard to get into. There's a lot of trailers debuting with that one. I think there's supposed to be a new Tintin trailer. There will be, I don't think there will be, yeah, there will be a Sherlock Holmes trailer. That's a big one. There's also some new Sherlock Holmes posters out there. You can do a quick Google search for those. I'm sure you'll find them. They're pretty interesting looking. You get a look at Moriarty, but kind of from the distance on there. There's two different posters, one with Holmes, played by Robert Downey Jr., and Moriarty in the background, and the other one that features prominently Watson, played by Jude Law, and the new female lead in the background, and I'm not aware of this actress's name or who she is. As we get closer, I will hear more and do a little bit more research, but go check out the posters. They look very stylistically the same as the old advertising campaign for the Sherlock Holmes films. But the first one was a big success, so I'm sure this one will be as well. And again, that's one of the hotly anticipated trailers for In Front of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 coming up. Another rumored trailer, and this would be the biggest one for most fans out there. They're saying there may be a teaser for The Dark Knight Rises coming out with it. It is a Warner Brothers movie, so that does make sense. The Dark Knight Rises is still over a year away, but you'll often get little teasers. I mean, if they do it, there probably won't be any actual footage. It'll probably be like the teaser for The Dark Knight was, which was just some sound clips from Alfred and Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne conversation there, and basically the bat symbol in the background. There was no real footage or anything to the original teaser, so if we do get one in front of Harry Potter, I'm sure it'll be just the same style of teaser, but I'm sure that'll be enough to get a big eruption from all those huge Harry Potter crowds out there. So it'll be interesting to see if that actually shows up or not. We'll be on the lookout for that. Johnny Depp is close to signing a deal for the fifth Pirates of the Caribbean movie, it looks like. Exciting news if you're a Pirates fan, which I am. It's one of those movies where, especially now that they're, you know, the trilogy format weighed down on me. I loved the third one. A lot of people hated it. I didn't like the second much. A lot of people loved it. So a little difference of opinion between me and the general masses on those two. However, the fourth one I was a huge fan of just because it broke from that storyline stigma. Everything has to come out in trilogies now, and they all have to tie together and be one big story over three movies. And I kind of miss the old days. I commented on this last week, actually, how Transformers does that, and that's one of the things that makes me really happy about that franchise, is you don't have to watch Transformers 1, 2, and 3. You can go back and pick up any one of them and put it in, and it's its own standalone story. It's like the old, you know, like the Indiana Jones movies when they originally came out. They came out every few years. I mean, there was a steady string of them. There weren't any huge gaps between the original trilogy, but they're all their own movie, you know? It didn't have to be one solid storyline told piece by piece by piece. You can just, anytime you want to, you can pop in Last Crusade and just watch it on its own. And it's nice to have a franchise that you love so much that you don't have to feel bogged down by the entire storyline. Star Wars can get away with it because it's the holy trilogy. Every time you watch one, you do want to watch the other three. But sometimes when I pop in some characters, I don't want to feel committed to watching 9 hours worth of storyline just to get my fix for, you know, certain characters. So if the Pirates movies continue forward, and they continue forward with solo adventures rather than multi-movie picture deals, I'll be super happy with that. And of course, Disney is super happy with the results of the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie. It was the weakest performer domestically, coming in right around the mid-$200 million range. I don't think it's fully out of theaters yet, so it's still racking up small totals here and there. But I think it came in around $240, give or take, which is the smallest of any of them. I think they've all broke $300 domestically before this one. However, it was by far the biggest one worldwide, taking in well over $1 billion already, and I think still climbing. So when you take all those foreign dollars in, it's the biggest performer in that four-series franchise. And Disney's plenty happy taking foreign money as they are taking American. So they're looking at their bottom line, and it's rising. So they'd love to get debt back for a fifth one. They have an idea for it. Bruckheimer and some of the other producers have people working on a script. It's just all about whether or not Johnny Depp wants to do it. But with his working relationship with Disney and his love for the character, I have to assume that as long as the script's halfway decent, he'll be totally in for it. So look for a fifth Pirates of the Caribbean movie probably coming within the next few years here. I think that'll do it for our news section. I'm going to go ahead and get to our first commercial break here so I can come back and talk about a lot of the TV I've been watching this week. I'm going to fill out some of the TV talk we've been lacking on in the last few weeks. So go ahead and stick with us. Listen up. Learn about these great shows from Pop Culture Network that you can tune into at your leisure through our podcast section. And once you've heard about them, come back and let me talk to you about television programming. So we'll see you soon, folks.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
All right, folks, we're back with the show. Thanks for sticking with us. Hope you check out those great PopCultureNetwork.com podcasts you're hearing about. PopCultureNetwork.com is your number one source for video games, comic books, toys, and, of course, movies and television here with me at the Entertainment Center. Remember also, you can always email us here at the Entertainment Center at, it is theentertainmentcenter@popculturenetwork.com. That's the email address, theentertainmentcenter, all one word, @popculturenetwork.com. Drop us a line, let us know what you think about the show, let us know what you think about our reviews, all that sorts of stuff. We're going to get right into the TV talk for this segment. I really wish James was here this week. A big week, a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff I've been pretty much fully caught up on now on several shows. I've been watching a couple of the new USA shows. A lot of TV activity going on. A lot of interesting watching going on with me. I've had a little bit of extra free time in the last week or so here, so I've been trying to get through some more movies. I have fallen drastically behind on my summer of 100 movies, trying to watch 100 individual films. I've probably about up to pace on how many movies I've watched, but several of them have been repeat viewings. I'm trying to get to 100 distinct movies that I've done, but I'm going through the Harry Potters in an effort to get them rewatched before the last one comes out here. I've only seen any of those movies one time. They're fun, cute little movies. I enjoy them. None of my favorites. Most of them I didn't even see in theaters until probably the fourth or fifth one, I think. But I do like them, and I'm giving them another watch so I know what in the heck's going on when number 7 part 2 comes out, because usually every time one comes out a year or two before the or later than the last one, it's been so long since I've seen it, I never know what anybody's talking about. So I've been doing that, but in between doing that, I've also been catching up on some of USA's new shows. We talked briefly about Suits and Necessary Roughness in the last week or two. Suits is a new show about a kid. Basically, he's got an eidetic memory, and he can learn very fast. And he's never actually gone to law school, but he has passed the bar because he can pick up on details and information so quickly. And he ends up basically lucking his way into an interview at this prestigious law firm that only hires Harvard graduates. Gets in with a guy who really wants him to work for him, so they pretend that he graduated from Harvard, and basically they go into the law business. And then the other show is Necessary Roughness. It's about a psychologist who gets hooked up with some players on a football team, and some of the trainers there, and ends up doing some psychoanalyzing on their big star player. And I assume she will help more of the team as the season goes on. This last week here, she was actually working on a news journalist that was having some problems. But basically, it's a psychology show. It's a newly divorced woman, or in the process of a messy divorce, putting her life back together, dealing with her kids and her newly flourishing career. It's an interesting show. I think between the two, I like Suits a little bit more right now, but I'm only 2 episodes in on each, so it's hard to pass firm judgment. It just Suits seems to make a little bit more, at least seems to have a little bit more fun, I'll say. I do like Necessary Roughness. Mark DeLucas is in it. He plays the head trainer of the professional football team that ends up coming across the doctor, getting romantically involved with her, and getting her to help with the teammates. Mark DeLucas of Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame, which is where I became a fan of his, and you can see him pop up every once in a while, usually pretty small roles. Most recently, he was in Night and Day last summer, the Tom Cruise vehicle that greatly enjoyed, a really fun movie there. He was the mustachioed fireman that was into Cameron Diaz. So he's in this show, and then the rest of the actors I don't really recognize, a couple of semi-familiar faces, but decently done. It just seems to kind of, it drags a little bit more than I'd prefer. There's not quite as much comedy as I like out of my USA shows. I definitely won't call it a miss, though, for USA. As I've always, as I usually say, they're really a can't-miss station. I haven't seen a USA original program that I haven't enjoyed. I don't watch them all religiously, but any one I've ever caught, I've liked the episodes. Most of the ones I don't watch, I have friends who do. There's not a bad show on that station, it seems. Necessary Roughness is picking up slower than I heard, or than I hoped, rather. But it's a good show. I'm going to stick with it for at least 3 or 4 more episodes and see where it goes, and hopefully it can kind of find its feet and run. Suits, I think, is a little bit closer to already finding its feet after just a couple of episodes. There are some hiccups here and there, and sometimes I don't really get where they're going with a couple of the characters. The main characters, really, in their relationship seems a little bit up and down. However, I laugh every time I watch the show. There's some decent comedy bits and interesting enough storylines and likable enough characters. The main lawyer has such a plastic haircut, he almost looks like one of those Lego guys. But beyond the hair, I do appreciate the stoic nature that he brings to it. And almost, he's in a mentor role for this young guy, but he doesn't really seem to know how to do that on his own either, so he's kind of coming into that while the other guy's coming into, you know, being mentored. It's definitely an interesting dynamic. It's a show I really like. Another show I would definitely like to take the time to talk to is I have finally caught up on all 10 episodes within the last week or so here. I have caught up on all of Game of Thrones. And man, could I go on for hours about Game of Thrones. I'll give you a spoiler warning. I don't know for sure that I'm going to pop any out, but just in case, as I'm talking about this, if it's a show you're looking forward to watching and you haven't seen or heard anything about it yet, you may want to skip ahead a few minutes. Oh, God, what an emotionally stirring show. It really does bring out some deep emotion in you as a viewing audience. In me, it did anyway. However, 99% of that emotion was rage. I want everyone in that show to get murdered, pretty much. There's probably been a total of 5 guys I've actually been rooting for, or 5 characters, I should say, and they're not all guys, and I think 3 of them are dead now. That show has no qualms with killing any of its main characters, or anybody you think is set to go. There's a good chance they're not going to make it. Now, it's based off a series of books, so they're doing whatever the books say. Everybody I know who's read them, I know 2 people who've read the books, they both say to their recollection, because they actually read them before, long before it was a TV series, but to their recollection, the show is following the books pretty much to a T. So, if you want to spoil seasons 2 through 4 or 5, or however long it goes for yourself, you can pick up the book series, and it looks like they're following that pretty straight through, but I'm gonna get spoiler heavy here. Sean Bean playing Ned Stark obviously was one of the reasons I wanted to watch the show in the first place. He just gets ousted. I was a big fan of the guy who's playing Conan in this summer's Conan movie. Played Khal Drogo, the leader, the warrior king of this tribe of savages. They build the entire season like these guys are going to cross the water and just raise hell on all these knights and this kingdom that they focus most of the story on. They drop him in the 9th or 10th episode he died in. There was a very entertaining swordsman teaching one of Ned Stark's daughters how to do swordplay, one of his youngest daughters. Really wanted to see that guy do some badass stuff. He did a little bit at the very end there, but it looks like he's gone now. The Lannisters, who were the evil, money-grubbing tribe, tribe's not the right word, but the family that was basically just trying to take over the crown, had the most annoying 13-year-old kid you could imagine. You just want terrible things to happen to this young child. He's just so uppity and... he is far from getting his comeuppance, it seems. He's just getting more and more powerful. I've ruined so much, I don't know why I won't just ruin this part. He becomes king towards the end there, and just, man, I'm getting mad just thinking about some of this stuff. And like I said, with all that going on, there's only 2 or 3 characters left I really even enjoy in that show. But I enjoy watching what happens the whole time. I mean, even if those 2 were to drop dead the very first episode of season 2, I'm probably still going to keep it going. It has got me hooked, and hooked hard. It is a great show, masterfully done. The scenery is wonderful. The acting is all good. The story is laid out in an interesting manner. The violence is delightful. Tons of nudity in that show, too. I don't watch a lot of HBO shows, so I'm not used to that level of freedom, but they put more graphic violence and nudity and sex in that show than you will see in any R-rated movie at a major Cineplex. I mean, it is intensely adult. Didn't realize I was getting into that, and I'm not weighing in on whether that's good or bad. Honestly, as long as I don't have any kids in the room, I don't care. That's fine. I'm an adult. I can watch that stuff. It throws me off because I sit down and think I'm going to watch a TV show, and then I see all that stuff go on. I'm like, oh, that's
It's not something I'm going to see on NBC any day soon. However, again, I hope if you're looking forward to that show, you kind of passed over all the spoilers I gave away there. But I just needed somebody to vent to. And audience, you're my ventees in this case, because I couldn't believe it, man, when they took Sean Bean's head off. I was like, that's the reason I watched this show. That's why I wanted to pop it in. And now what I'm going to do, I'll tell you what, I'm going to watch season two. I'm going to wait eagerly for it to come out next year so I can see what happens to the rest of these guys. And I'm just going to hope, that all the ones I hate get what's coming, what's already came to all the ones I liked. There's a few more in there. I mean, there's some good actors in that show. I can't remember his name. The midget in the show, he plays Tyrion Lannister. I don't know if midget's PC or not. I certainly hope it is. The little person, whatever, they don't call him a dwarf in the show. They call him the imp, I think. Either way, he is a scene stealer. He is delightful. I've seen that actor in several projects. I can't give you his name right off the top of my head. And since we've recently fired our research department, I'm stuck doing a lot of this on my own. So I haven't come up with that. But watch out for that guy. He's part of the evil family, so you want to hate him. But he's just too entertaining. You can't. I'm really hoping that guy somehow comes out and wins the day for the whole show. He's just great to watch. Again, I mean, steals every scene he's in. He's just nothing but wit and composure, and just fun to watch. And then all the actors in the show are good at their jobs. Some of their jobs are to make you hate them, but they're good at them. You know, it's what they do. I can't rave enough about that show. Maybe it's just because I watched all 10 episodes, boom, 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 in such a quick span. But it's all I had on my mind, and it's all I got. I'm probably going to go back and watch them a second time as soon as I can round up some time, because it was a very, very intensely good show. So if you haven't seen Game of Thrones and I haven't ruined it all for you yet, go out and check that out. Hopefully any of you who skipped past a few minutes are coming in at this part and not catching any spoilers. That's my TV talk for the week. Let me know what you guys think of Game of Thrones. Remember, theentertainmentcenter@popculturenetwork.com. Drop me a line. Let me know what you thought about it. Let me know who you're rooting for, that kind of thing. We're going to cut to some more popculturenetwork.com show commercials, and when I come back, I will give you my review of Horrible Bosses, so stick with us.
Hi guys, this is Chris Vent here, one half of D-Generation X. Oh no, wait, sorry. Operation Retro Shock with Alan Price. Well, I'm always telling Alan Price to... No, never mind. One half of Operation Retro Shock. Twice a month, you'll find an episode exclusively on PopCultureNetwork.com. We cover all things retro. We've covered the likes of things such as Thundercats. Heck, we've even interviewed Larry Kenny, who was the voice of Lion-O. The likes of Monday Night Wars. Somebody was involved in that. Oh yeah, Chris Jericho. We've interviewed him as well. And some other things as well, like Back to the Future. We've got Batman. We haven't got Master of the Universe yet, working on it, but some other stuff as well, like Sega specials and Nintendo specials. So why not head over to popculturenetwork.com, click on the Operation Metal Shock button, or why not even go to the forums and have your say on what you would like to see discussed. We're always open for ideas, and why not live in the past? It's better than living in the now, isn't it? They always say they don't make them like they used to, apart from this show, of course, and the one you're listening to. Enjoy.
What's up, all? This is Sween Hollick from Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you're listening to a Primo Pop Culture Network podcast.
You are back with the Entertainment Center. Thanks for sticking around here through the end of the show, guys. Hope you've enjoyed it so far. We got one section left. We're going to talk about movies. As we always do, I'll give you my review of the big new movie of the weekend, which in this weekend is Horrible Bosses, starring Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, and Charlie Day, and co-starring a huge, huge name lineup of Kevin Spacey, Colin Farrell, and Jennifer Aniston, all playing varying degrees of complete douchebags. Basically, the premise of the movie, if you don't know for some reason, is that the three main characters, they all have jobs that... They hate for different reasons, but all of the reasons stem from their bosses. Jason Bateman works for Kevin Spacey in this big executive firm, and he is just, he always makes Bateman stay late, work through weekends, has been promising him a promotion for a long amount of time and getting, you know, 80-hour work weeks out of him and having him miss all sorts of important things and events in his life, and comes time to get the promotion, and Kevin Smith ends up passing right over him. Jason Sudeikis loves his job working for his boss, but his boss has a douchebag cokehead son played by Colin Farrell. His boss ends up passing away, Colin Farrell inherits the company, and all of a sudden Sudeikis is up a creek. And Charlie Day has a weird little problem, that being that Jennifer Aniston, at probably her hottest I've ever seen her, is just a sexually overbearing boss to him. And while that doesn't sound like a problem, Charlie Day is playing a guy who has just gotten engaged, is very much in love with his fiance, and doesn't want to have an affair with his boss, no matter how hot she is. But she really turns it on way too overtly, and he can't really get away from the job for various reasons that I'll let the movie describe, because they're pretty, it's pretty entertaining stuff they set up. Basically, these three band together and decide their lives would all be better if they could get out of their jobs, but for varying degrees of reason, they can't get out of their jobs. So the next best idea is that they need to get rid of their bosses. And the only way they can get rid of their bosses, they decide, is to kill them. So they set up a plot to try to hire a hitman. If that doesn't work out, they try to do it themselves, and hilarity ensues. And there is a lot of it, too. A very, very, very funny movie. It has its dark tones. I didn't even think of it as a dark comedy until somebody referred to it as that. And then looking at it definitively, yeah, I can put dark comedy to it. But as far as dark comedies go, it's pretty light fare. Maybe that's why it made a lot more money than some of them. I heard someone trying to compare it to Very Bad Things. That does not work at all. Very Bad Things, which is a movie I liked. I enjoyed quite a bit. I'm a big Peter Berg fan. Christian Slater, when he was still fairly relevant. Just a terribly dark movie, but thoroughly entertaining through and through about it, just watching all this horrible stuff happen. Horrible Bosses comes nowhere near that level. It's the most lighthearted you can make a movie about murder. Let's put it that way. The three leads do a great job playing off of each other. There's a lot of chemistry between those three guys. Sudeikis, I'm a huge fan of. I have been since Saturday Night Live, so it's good seeing him get more prominent movie roles. Charlie Day, I can't say Charlie Day steals the show, but he comes pretty close. He's just like he is on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is another show I need to catch up on, because I've only seen sporadic episodes here and there. But from what I have seen, Charlie Day is pretty much just Charlie Day, playing the same guy, but it's a really entertaining guy. And mixing him up with these other two, I'd say Jason Bateman's the main straight man. Sudeikis kind of straddles the line between straight man and the comic relief, and Charlie Day is a little bit more on the comic relief side. But none of them are overtly goofy to the point where they're annoying. I mean, they all still fit together. They work, you know, they're coherent, sensible human beings. Some of their ideas are terrible and over the top and not very well thought out, but they're not dumb guys. You know, this isn't the Three Stooges commit murder. This is just three guys fed up on their lives trying to make improvement the only way they know how, no matter how dark that is. And it's just, it works really, really, really well. A lot of great jokes in that movie. A lot of good, all of the guest stars, the bosses that I referred to earlier, all do great jobs, are all easily, they're good at convincing you to hate them real quick. Maybe not Jennifer Aniston, because she's just so good looking in that movie. It's hard to hate anything like that. But Kevin Spacey and Colin Farrell, man, you are on board with hating these guys right away. Julie Bowen shows up in a little bit. Look, people from Modern Family are just showing up left and right, more stuff. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, Eric Stone Street was in Bad Teacher. Julie Bowen's actually been in a couple of movies this summer. She was in Jumping the Broom earlier on in the year. I think that opened actually the first weekend of May. I think it opened against Thor. So good to see her around, also because of how attractive she is. And she's just, you know, she's a good actress. It's always fun to see people from projects you enjoy, like Modern Family, show up in other things. But definitely check out Horrible Bosses. You got a couple hours to kill and you want some laughs. They are going to deliver. Very, very, very funny movie. Two thumbs up or five stars. Well, maybe not five stars. Two thumbs up, 4 stars out of 5. A big, big review. Definitely enjoyed that one. So go head out to your multiplex. Get out there before Harry Potter comes out. And check out Horrible Bosses. If you're 17 or older, obviously. Beyond that, I want to readdress Transformers Dark of the Moon, as we talked about last week. I've gotten a little bit of feedback from my rant about Quiet Down about hating Transformers movies. I referred to them as innocent, mindless fun. If you can't take them for that, then, you know, don't watch them. I'm not retracting anything I said. I stand by everything I said here, but I just want to clarify. I have no problems with you guys not liking Transformers. Any of the three movies. If you don't like them, if they're not your cup of tea, that's fine. However, they are exactly what they're advertised to be, and they are exactly what you should expect out of them. They are not horrible movies. Aside from some obvious missteps in 2, which I won't deny, 2 definitely had its huge faults. There was no particular reason to introduce racist robots. There was way too much over-the-top and raunchy comic relief. And 90% of that movie was in slow motion for no reason. Now, aside from that, it had some decent jokes and some great action. So I still enjoyed Transformers 2, just far below the other two. Dark of the Moon is a very fun movie. It's got a cool storyline. It's got a huge reduction in that over-the-top comic relief. The action is pumped up even higher. The 3D effects work great. The runtime is a good half an hour too long, I will grant you that, and some of the jokes are a little tired, but, you know, it's still an entertaining fare, and I still don't know why Malkovich showed up in that thing. He seemed to serve no purpose, but I wouldn't even really call that a complaint so much as just an observation. Dark of the Moon's a fun movie. It's a really fun movie. The first Transformers was a fantastic, awe-inspiring movie. That one gave you chills as you first saw some of these pop up. I don't know what the internet's problem is still, and I will still fight you tooth and nail on the fact. Because the internet, man, check out some of the mail I've gotten about these movies, check out message boards everywhere. Everyone seems to tear these ones a new one. I tell you what, I know a ton of people. Most of them have seen Dark of the Moon. All of them liked it. I haven't seen a bad one-on-one review of that yet for me sitting down and talking to people. I have no idea what this hatred of Michael Bay comes from, but my point was never you're not allowed to dislike those movies or you're not allowed to dislike Michael Bay. My point is you know exactly what you're getting. If you go out and spend $10 on Transformers movies and don't enjoy them, that is totally your bad. That is your fault for spending that money, because you know what you're walking into. Bay has a very, very, very personalized style. He is not going to deviate from that. These Transformers movies have shown you exactly what they are from day one. They have not deviated from that. You know what you're getting. You're getting exactly what they're advertising, and they're bringing you exactly what they should be. It's mindless summer popcorn fun. If you want them to be smarter than that and they're not, I'm sorry. That sucks for you. I don't really know what you're looking for, because it's not like the old G1 cartoon series was bending the realm of intelligent cartoon making. They were half-an-hour toy commercials. The movies are 2.5-hour toy commercials. The tone is different for sure. The point is the same, you know? The Transformers movie, back from the 80s, the animated one, that broke some storytelling ground for a lot of childhoods. The deaths of major characters, emotionally tugging an epic storyline, huge guest stars, even though we didn't know who they were as kids. It did all that stuff. And if you want that translated into movie form and you don't quite get it, I can sort of see that argument. But you also have to understand, Optimus Prime didn't die in that Transformers movie, so they could emotionally pull at a childhood heartstrings, and so that they could teach you something about storytelling at a young age. Hasbro decided to off Optimus Prime in that movie so they could make a new leader and sell more toys. Straight up, that's the exact reasoning. And that's not me making that up. That is straight from Hasbro and the people behind that movie. None of that stuff is any more advanced than what you're getting nowadays. It's just coming from a slightly different place. So like I said, yeah, the tone's way different. If you like the old stuff a lot better and you think this new stuff is an insult, that's fine. I can understand your argument. I can back you to an extent. However, stop watching them and stop griping about them. There's nothing wrong with these movies. And if you don't like them, if they're not your cup of tea, that's fine. But the belligerent hatred is going too far. That's all you can see on message boards and stuff like that. As soon as these movies come up, it's just, you know, caps lock curse words and just very inventive slang terms. The degree of hatred for these movies is completely unjust. If you don't like them, don't watch them. It's just that easy. You know, voice your opinion, do it civilly, and then be done with it. Move on with your life. Go find a Batman movie somewhere to overhype. That's the other thing the internet's good at. But again, don't misunderstand anything I was saying. I'm not trying to convince anyone that they're the greatest movies ever or that they have to be loved. I'm just stating that I don't understand the degree of hatred coming for them, and I think it's to an uncalled for level. You know, if they're not your cup of tea, don't watch them. How hard is that? Go find something you know you're going to like. Don't look at a preview that advertises a certain thing and then be upset when it delivers exactly what it tells you it's going to do. You got to be a better movie watcher than that, especially at $11 a head or however much it costs, you know, $13, $14, whatever for 3D movies. You got to watch out for yourselves. All right, that's going to be our show for the week. Hope you all enjoyed it. I think it was a really good one. Again, it was another one I really wish I would have had with all the stuff going on this week and all the TV I got to talk about. I really wish I would have had James here. But maybe next week or the week after we can get him in here and recap some of this stuff. We'll get his take on Transformers and see what he says, if he agrees or disagrees with me. As always, I would still like your take on Transformers or anything else that I've talked about. I'd love to hear what you guys are thinking about Game of Thrones. Just email me at theentertainmentcenter@popculturenetwork.com. You can also email James at the same address. If you want to say something to J-Raz, send it straight through to that. As always, thanks to our friends at PopCultureNetwork.com for putting us on. Remember to check out all the other great podcasts and videos and written news and reviews you can find on PopCultureNetwork.com. They got toys, video games, movies, music, not so much music, I don't think, but television movies. All that sorts of stuff. It's a great, great website, so go check them out. Let me know what you guys are watching and what you want my opinion on. If I'm not talking about something that you greatly enjoy week to week or any movies that have come by that you've seen, drop me a line and give me some recommendations on what to watch. And as always, keep coming back every Monday to check out a new version of or new edition of the Entertainment Center. Next week we will be talking Harry Potter. Not gonna guarantee you that I'll have seen the 8th one by then, but I've got my fingers crossed, and regardless, I'll have some news on how the box office is opening and all that sorts of stuff. So come back then. Until then, have a great week, everybody, and we will see you next time.